Well, you've heard from a number of people this morning about how God is calling them and how God is leading them to different places and different sorts of ministries. 2 weeks ago, you heard from John and Allison about how they've been hearing God's call to missionary aviation. You heard from Bryce this morning. You heard from Julie last week as she left for Uganda. So I want to talk about calling this morning. We're going to look at Exodus. We're going to look a little bit at Moses. If you know anything about Moses, you know Moses had a pretty big call in his life. Now, I also want to mention, as you think about calling this morning, because this is for all of us, a while back, a number of months back, Joe Bear told me after a service that he was experiencing God's call. Now, I don't want you to get excited. I don't know that Joe's leaving the country or anything like that. He was hearing God's call to visit somebody who works with him sometimes, somebody who is in the hospital. So when we talk about calling, we're not only talking about God calling you to a lifetime ministry or called to go overseas or even called to go to another place even. I believe God calls us in many ways. Sometimes it's a kind of lifetime calling. Sometimes his call takes us somewhere else from where we're at right now. Sometimes it's a call to one simple task involving someone close to us. Almost always it seems to take us out of our comfort zone and it costs us something. So God calls us in many ways. He's constantly calling us. So as you think about this idea of God's calling this morning, don't write it off and say, well, that's not me. God hasn't called me anywhere. God is constantly calling. Even if we've experienced a kind of lifetime call in our lives, there are still many individual calls that God places on us. And it may be for one simple task that you need to do today or tomorrow or the next day. So think about that as we read about Moses this morning. It's a longer section of scripture than what I often focus on, but I think you'll enjoy it because it's a narrative. It's the story of Moses' call. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. We're going to start right there with the birth of Moses. Exodus chapter 2, and it's not all going to be up here, so please grab a Bible in front of you if you didn't bring one in the pew and take a look at the scripture. Now, a man of the house of Levi, you'll remember that before I get reading here, you'll remember that the family of Israel had gone down to Egypt when there was a famine, and they settled there. And as they began to prosper there in Egypt, one generation led into the next, and eventually there was another Pharaoh who was afraid of these people, the Hebrews who were expanding. And so he eventually got to the point where he made them into slaves, and they continued to multiply, and so he said, let's kill all the baby boys. All the Hebrew baby boys, they need to be killed. And that's where we pick up today, with the birth of Moses. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when they could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and she put it among the reeds along the banks of the Nile. Whenever I think about the Nile, I think about crocodiles. She placed the basket in the reed on the edge of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. One day, after Moses had grown up, He went out to where his own people were, and he watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and he hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and he saw two Hebrews fighting, and he asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid, and he thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh, and he went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now, a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and to fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away. But Moses got up, and he came to their rescue, and he watered their flock. When the girls returned to Raul, their father, he asked them, "Why have you returned so early today?" They answered, "As an Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us, and he watered the flock." "And where is he?" he asked his daughters. "Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, "I have become an alien in a foreign land." During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites, and he was concerned about them. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, home of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way that the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." God called him. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent you." God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt, into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go, unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them, and after that he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which will be put on your sons and your daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. Moses answered, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out his hand, and he took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that you may believe, and that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you, that they may believe. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous, like snow. Now put it back in your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored, like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you, you do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign that they may believe the second. But if they do not believe those signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it out on dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. But Moses said, oh, Lord, please send someone else to do it. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. Moses had a big call. God did some pretty special things to help Moses out with that calling. I want to start back at the beginning here with Moses' birth. It's rather amazing because God prepares us. When God calls us, God's been preparing us for that call. And we see that right from the beginning with Moses' birth. It's amazing how Moses' parents chose to trust God to protect their son, and how Pharaoh's daughter showed up at just the right time. I mean, I think about it. You place your child in the Nile. in a basket, what's going to happen? They chose to trust God in that way. And God took care of Moses. God was already preparing for what he was calling Moses to. It's no coincidence that Moses is a Hebrew raised in Pharaoh's household. Who would have ever thought of it? God, perhaps. God is preparing Moses for his calling. I'd like to take a look along with the scripture that we've been reading at Acts 7. Because Stephen in Acts 7, as he's telling the story of God's people, also retells the story of Moses. So just reading a couple of verses there in 7, starting verse 20 to 22. This is what Moses, who told the Israelites, excuse me, I got the wrong verse. Verse 20, at that time Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months he was cared for in his father's house. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as his own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in speech and action. Isn't that funny? Moses said, I'm slow of speech. Stephen says he was powerful in speech and action. God must have done something there. God was preparing Moses. Stephen understood that God had prepared Moses. And so he said he was no ordinary child. Now I'm pretty sure Moses didn't realize as he was coming of age that he was special. That he was no ordinary child. I doubt that that's what he thought. My guess is that Moses was struggling to understand who he was. A Hebrew, and yet a member of Pharaoh's household. That sounds like a pretty big identity crisis to me, somewhere along the way. I think Moses was trying to figure out just who he was. When I think of my calling as a pastor, I can see ways that God's prepared me, both through my experiences and simply through who he made me to be. Thank you. I'm no ordinary person. You're not either. You're no ordinary person. God has prepared you in some special ways, both through your experiences and who he's made you to be, who you are. Of course, there's some things about me and who I am that caused me to ask, why am I a pastor? I think we find Moses asking those kinds of questions too. Why me, Lord? I'm slow of speech. People won't believe me. I think Moses was having an identity crisis for quite a while in his life. He didn't know that he was special, but he was. I think that's what God wants us to believe. God has been preparing you. He's preparing you for whatever he calls you to. God has placed a calling within you. So I think about the calling of Moses. I believe that when it says that he went out to see the Hebrews, and he saw this Egyptian beating his fellow Hebrew, and he killed the Egyptian, I believe that already at that time, Moses was sensing God's call. He didn't understand it fully, but he sensed it. He was discovering himself. And so he felt this desire to protect his own people, to do something for them. And in the midst of that, he killed the Egyptian. God has a calling within each one of us. He's placed a calling in you. And maybe you're starting to hear it. Whether it's a really large calling or just some smaller thing that God's asking you to do right now, you'll begin to hear that. And sometimes it's not always clear at first. Our calling may be related to our skill set. It may be related to just being at the right place at the right time. It may be part of some broader responsibility in our lives. It may be a matter of what our heart leads us towards. But God has placed a calling in each one of us. And Moses was beginning to hear that and to sense that. John and Allison talked to us 2 weeks ago, and mission aviation just seems to fit in many ways who John is, what his interests are, what his passions are. Allison's a nurse. It seems like a fit. That's part of their sense of calling. Doesn't mean that it's easy. Madison's adoption still has to be completed. They both have jobs that they have to leave. John has to get more training. They need to sell things. They have to move far from family. But there's something there where we sense God's calling in our lives. And it has something to do with who we are and how God has prepared us. And the third thing I want to say is watch for God's timing. As you hear God's call, watch for his timing. Going back to Acts 7, verse 23, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. That's a long time. God was preparing Moses from the beginning, from his birth. At 40 years of age, Moses goes out. I think he's having this identity crisis, and he goes out to look at his people, at the Hebrews. Going on in Acts 7, he saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense, and he avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them. He was sensing God's call already. But they did not. They didn't recognize it. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you're brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner, and he had two sons. Moses sensed a call to bring the deliverance of his people. He acted rashly, and it blew up in his face. Watch for God's timing. I'm not sharing this to make us afraid to act. I just point it out because maybe we've had an experience something like Moses. And we've become disillusioned. We've fled. We've given up on the vision or the calling that God's given us. Because it seems like it just blew up in our face, like it did for Moses. Going back to Acts again, 7, verse 30. After 40 years had passed. So Moses, at 40, went out to see the Hebrews. He fled to Midian. And 40 years after that, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to look more closely, he heard the Lord's voice. "I am the God of the fathers. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear, and he did not dare look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to set them free. Now come. I will send you back to Egypt." This is the same Moses whom they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself, through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt, and he did wonders and miraculous signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the desert. Another 40 years. I don't really understand God's timing. But for some reason, it was after Moses had spent this time in Midian that God decided it was time for the deliverance of the Hebrews. And it was time to call Moses to lead them. The same Moses that was rejected by them earlier. So when I say watch for God's timing, I don't simply mean that if you do this really, really well and really carefully, there won't be any failure or any frustrations. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not really trying to say that it's going to be safe when God calls you. I'm simply saying, be encouraged. God has a plan, and he'll bring it about in his time, and you'll be prepared for that time. So if you're in a frustrating time right now, or if something has blown up in your face, know that that doesn't mean all is lost, or that you're to give up. God has his time. And I don't really understand that, to be honest, because God's kind of outside of time. I was thinking about it this morning. God's eternal. What does 40 years mean? Or 80 or 120 to God when you're eternal? What does it mean? 40 years to me means half a lifetime at least. But to God, it's so much different. So I don't understand it. And yet God comes into our time and he does act. And so watch for God's timing. It may mean waiting sometimes. This narrative of Moses tells us also that God empowers those he calls. You know, when Moses killed the Egyptian, I'm guessing that he expected to use his power as a member of Pharaoh's household to bring his people out of oppression. In fact, he finds out that his own power is useless. He sees how quickly it can be lost, and he becomes a fugitive himself. So when Moses has this discussion with God, his question is, who am I to do this, Lord? God answers not by telling Moses, you have all the tools, Moses, you can do it, but by assuring him, I'll be with you. God seems to think that's enough. I'll be with you. And it is enough. God empowers those that he calls. Moses has questions. And God's okay with that. He gives Moses some fairly detailed answers. This is how it's going to work. Here, use your staff. Moses makes excuses. God's not quite as patient with his response to that, though he still addresses Moses' concern by providing Aaron. God will empower you. Acts 7:36 tells us Moses did wonders and miraculous signs. That was all by God's power, because God was with him. Finally, we're called to fulfill God's will. It's not our ideas. It's what God's doing. When God calls us, he's calling us because he's doing something, and he wants us to be a part of it. God heard the cries of his people, and he decided when they would be delivered. It was all in God's time frame, not on Moses's. The point is that Moses did not simply have this idea. God decided, oh, you got this idea, Moses? Let's go with it. Rather, God was doing something, and he called Moses to be a part of it. So when you sense within some call from God, that's not just your idea. God's doing something, and he wants you to be part of it. He's calling you to fulfill what he wants to do. So the question this morning is, will you believe that God has been calling you and preparing you? Will you believe that this morning? We're all at different places this morning. You may have recently sensed God's call, and you're stepping out right now into something that he's called you to. You may have been frustrated because God's call in your life doesn't seem at all clear right now. And you're wondering, what in the world does God want me to do? You may have recently had the experience of things seeming to blow up in your face, and you're kind of reeling from that experience. You may, like Moses, be on the backside of the wilderness right now, having given up on being part of God's fulfilling anything through you. You may be making excuses right now for why God's surely not calling you for a particular task, even though if you shared your story with anyone here, they'd say, sure sounds to me like God's calling you. God's been preparing you. God's placed a calling within you. Watch for God's timing. Trust God to empower you. Believe that you are called to fulfill God's will. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up. And as you listen to God, what he's saying to you this morning in your life, I want to give you the opportunity to come up to the altar as we worship here in this last song this morning. If you just want to come up, you can do that on this side. If you want somebody to pray for you, you can come up here. Wherever you're at, in this kind of process that God takes us through as he calls us, sometimes to big lifelong things, sometimes just to a small task that has to do with something he's doing in somebody's life. And he wants you to be a part of it. So I give you the opportunity to respond that way. I'd like to ask you to stand. As Bryce said this morning, if you want to respond by coming forward, do that. Maybe there's another way God's asking you to respond. Do that. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you call us. Father, you want to involve us. You love us so much. And so, Lord, I ask that you would make your calling clear for each one of us. Lord, both what we're to do in the long term and also those short term things, Lord. Father, we want to be a part of what you're doing. And sometimes we're afraid of that. But, Lord, we want to proclaim our trust in you this morning. And we want to ask you to give us courage to step into each call that you place in our lives. Father, for those who may be frustrated this morning or uncertain, I ask that you would touch their hearts. Lord, teach us when to wait, when to take action. We walk with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.